Are you achieving your goals at work and in your relationships and personal life? Personal accountability is the key. Mark Samuel is author of the book, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. As president of Impact Corporation, Mark helps individuals and teams around the world overcome obstacles to reach new levels of fulfillment, excellence, and success. Visit www.marksamuel.com to learn about his accountability coaching services and products, or call 323-969-0088. MarkSamuel.com, success you can count on. 323-969-0088. Well, since we often talk about health and wellness on this show, particularly if you're in the midst of the transition, don't know that we've ever talked about the words of health, wellness, or disease, or dis-ease in the context of organizations. That's what we're going to do today right now, speaking with Mark Samuel from Impact Corporation. How are you this morning, Mark?
Oh, I'm doing well, Zara. Thanks.
Great. Well, we wanted to pick that up on a subject that avoiding the three organizational diseases, JF&R, judgment, fear, and rumor.
Yeah, and especially when we're trying to have change take place in an organization or trying to move the organization forward, these are what I refer to as literally deadly diseases that act like a cancer in the organization. And it really begins, in a sense, with judgment, where people are finding fault with others constantly. It's like you can never do anything right because no matter how well you do it, people focus on the 5% that you didn't do well as opposed to the 95% that you did do well.
Or if you even do it well, there's some supposition, there's some undermining going on.
Well, that's right. You know, and you know, a lot of times even when we go into judgment against one person, their performance or communication was dependent on either information or actions of someone else, you know, and that could be someone else in the same team, but a lot of times it's someone else in a completely different team, but it doesn't prevent the organization or people or individuals to blame that one person for, you know, not doing enough again.
Yes, and then as we know, that term blame is all part of the lower part of your accountability loop that leads to denying, hiding out, rationalizing, you name it.
Well, that's right. And then once we form a judgment against somebody, and this is really important both for personal relationships as well as work relationships, once you form a judgment that someone's not doing enough of whatever it is, then we tend to want to prove ourselves right by finding evidence of that. So that's what we end up looking for. And so we don't even see all the good things that someone does or all the effective communications. We point out that one thing that that person did that broke a rule or broke a standard or didn't meet my expectations of how I define things, and then that gives us call to blame that person and make them wrong.
Well, and in particular, we've done other shows talking about attracting talent to organizations that quite often will overlook the people that are right there within the organization because all you remember are the things you judged them on.
Well, that's exactly right. And then what happens is when you get that judgmental environment going, then people in wanting to, you know, not be judged find someone else to judge or get defensive. And either one of those, you know, ends up, you know, creating even more confusion and creating even more blame and more judgment. And that's why I say it becomes kind of a virus inside of the organization.
Yeah. Well, and then the idea of how you jerk yourself out of that, that's a whole series of steps that, you know, we'd probably say, wait a minute, take a deep breath and recognize there's the human element that always plays into these things, not necessarily, you know, a nefarious intentional reason why something didn't happen.
Right. And then let's not forget, we're asking people to make changes. We're asking people to improve. But if they don't do it right, they're going to be judged negatively. So now you put people in a lose-lose situation because it's not safe to try new things. It's not safe to make a change because, you know, I'm likely to make a mistake or it's likely to fall short, and instead of creating a learning environment, we could create a punishing environment.
Yeah, that's right. So judgment was the first one you mentioned.
Yeah.
The second one, of course, is is that short on its heels, if not predates, it's a pre-existing condition almost, is fear, not being safe, you're saying.
That's right. So now, if you lay on top of judgment the fear that we won't survive, the fear that if we don't do well enough, there's going to be layoffs, the fear that we're not meeting our metrics, the fear, and I see this, you know, I was just working with an organization that's been their whole mantra for the last 7 years.
Exactly, yeah.
They keep identifying metrics that they can't possibly attain, and yet they keep pounding people for not attaining it. Well, you didn't achieve your metric. They're not being given any guidance about what to do differently to achieve it. They're just being hammered for the metric. Mm-hmm. And that's just such a great way to create fear. And there's no motivation any longer in the organization because it's just the fear of not meeting a metric. Well, that's not inspiring. That doesn't, you know, allow me to try new things either, because I'm, again, going to get hammered when it's not enough. So you combine fear and judgment together, and it's absolutely deadly for making any progress and having an environment where people are innovative and creative to make the changes necessary to survive.
And, you know, and on top of that, particularly if the organization has a new challenging situation it's in the midst of, whether that be by choice, like we're going to acquire this new business or organically bring a new product into what we do or provide a new service to our nonprofit constituents, or it's one that, oh my gosh, our competitors are coming out with something that's going to put us on the edge. So you add those kind of exogenous and environmental fears around general change that really even further feeds the fear monster.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot to be afraid of in a lot of industries today. Like let's name one of them called healthcare.
Yeah.
With all the cost cutting that needs to be done, of course they're concerned about metrics and how do we make up or how do we add services to bring in more revenue or cut costs. But that can't be the full motivation. It's less fearful to say, hey, let's survive this and let's get through the other side and create something that's even better than it is to say, okay, now if you don't cut costs, then we're going to go out of business. That doesn't motivate people very well.
Well, and as you found in the type of work that Impact Corporation does, as well as I've had the joy of experiences, and sometimes of these galvanizing kerpowies that actually you'll see morale go up as the troops rally around a common picture of success. They learn to, okay, just let it go. If we've made these slight nuance of errors, I've got to rely on the other people. So not to say we just should hunker down, ignore the change, but rather if you can embrace it in a way with new habits that allow people to, you know, jointly lean on whether what's on the other side of it is they've built so much social capital, it's almost a point they say, bring it on again. No problem. We know how to do this.
Yes, exactly. And you just, you know, articulated that so well, exactly how you fight this fear and judgment game and turn it into something that's much more purpose-driven, much more of a inspiring-driven, and yet is not ignoring whatever the challenge of that, you know, current environment or current situation is.
So you got judgment that could be on the lattice of fear. And then, unfortunately, it gets fueled by rumors.
Rumors are the worst.
Yeah, the rumors, yeah.
Because when you have an organization that has the rumor mill going, you never know what the truth is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just saw one organization recently where somebody had a private conversation. It was a difficult conversation, but they had a private conversation with someone. And they both felt like they were both very open, they were both honest, they, at the end of the conversation, they both came away with a sense of trust. Then one of those individuals went and shared the outcome of the conversation, which was positive, to some other members of the organization, to which the other member said, oh, you can't trust that person. Gee, they're just telling you that up front, but they're going to go around you and manipulate you and do all these things. Now the person's really stuck. And what was a very good conversation just got contaminated by other people's rumors, perceptions, whatever their story is. And again, judgment and fear are right underlying that. And now all of a sudden you have an environment where no one can trust anybody because of, you know, again, people not speaking from experience, but speaking from their opinion.
Exactly, the backspin that happens. Well, Mark, there's been countless opportunities, I'll call opportunities, for you to step into this type of work to help organizations calm it down but yet speed it up when it's in the pursuit of meeting business goals. You might want to, you know, talk to us about that idea of how can you possibly get rapid team results and performance orientation by changing the way we think and treat one another at the same time.
Yeah, and that's again goes back to, you know, what you shared just a few moments ago. The very first thing is you got to be purpose driven, not fear driven. Mm-hmm. And so that gets everybody on the same page around where we want to go, that state B that we're going after, that vision that we're going after, and saying, okay, let's start with that as at least the place to align ourselves. And then let's identify how do we get there optimally, where we, you know, in terms of how we treat each other, how we demonstrate respect, how we, you know, communicate with each other, et cetera. Now, the big issue is this is where we've talked about this before, but let's talk about it more specifically. This is where recovery plans come into play in an important way, because usually this judgment, fear, and rumor are habits.
Yes.
And so it's very hard to change a habit. So what we need to do is get the agreement that we want to change it, mm-hmm. but then what's the recovery plan when someone goes back to that old habit? How do we help people who are either attacking someone else, who are undermining, who are spreading the rumor, to stop and bring them back to what the agreement is? That's what becomes really, really important to do, and then having a way to assess it as you go, because it's a trust issue, and trust needs to be, the demonstration of effective trust needs to be proven over what was the past history of broken trust.
You bet. And for those of us that have led major change efforts that required this very first step, one of the most biggest challenges that I have found is that there's no question you're coming, quote, the new sheriff that's come to town, and you may have all the guns from the organizational sense, the power, the resources, the ability to change. But what I have found is, yes, being the new sheriff is important, but also having the empathy and the understanding, but yet the almost immovable feet on the ground to provide that kind of stable, consistent leadership, that and role modeling it and reinforcing it in a compassionate way. So when you see some of these bad behaviors or rumors, that choice of when do you pull this into a private conversation versus a public conversation, not a whipping, but meaning
right.
a lessons learned we all can appreciate now. Now let's step back. Do you think we really were effective by blasting the marketing department when it really was our challenge as the engineering department, et cetera?
Right. And what you just said, though, is really important. It has to be surfaced. It can't go underground, because then it feeds, again, the rumor mill, where we're talking about things behind people's backs, or we're talking to people that can't change it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that to me is one of the first rules. If you're ever in a situation that you don't like, or that you feel like someone didn't do the right thing or whatever, don't talk to someone who can't change it or improve it. You got to go back to the people who can actually do something about it. Otherwise, it's not only rumor, it's just senseless.
Well, and like you say, but what organizations do, we have a tendency to put padded walls around those people or those organizations that might be promulgating the fracas, you know, or we're going to spray the vaccination on them, right? And that's not going to cure anything, to your point.
Yes. And when you're talking about an organization, sometimes, if you can, you try and solve wherever this fear, judgment,
yeah.
and rumor begins at the highest level. That's where you want to intervene first, because in a sense, they set the tone for the rest of the organization. Now, you can't always do that, so you've got to work within whatever team you're part of. But if you have the opportunity to change an organizational culture, that's where you do want to start as much as possible to correct that and heal that with the most senior people involved in it.
Couldn't agree more, although you and I both know that the squadron of really your solid warriors, shall we say, or additional sheriffs or deputies in town, are your middle managers. And
that's
so
right.
If we can insert in there a new way of thinking of them locking shoulders together and arms together, because they're really the ones running the organization in truth.
So, I couldn't agree
with
you more.
And in many regards, as I say, for them collectively to then employ what I call the master of the flare approach, with maybe the senior leaders, just give them another project by shooting off the flare off to the right. Not totally useless work, but, you know, something productive that keeps them engaged, right?
Yes.
That then you can rebuild those three, judgment, fear, rumor, at this level, so that when the stuff starts happening at the top, which it always does and always will, by the way, particularly if you're into the soup du jour of who's in charge for a given year with the way CEOs seem to change, that the rest of the organization can stay very stable and moving forward, but not easy to do.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And part of what you shared in the way you approached this was you got to unite the middle managers.
Exactly.
Because the only way that they can give each other support when any one of them becomes, you know, gets hammered by a senior level. And that's one thing that we've seen happen in organizations is, you know, okay, one person's getting hammered by a senior level. How do we as a middle management group support each other and support that person through that process?
Oh, yeah. And that's why I say we all knew how to put the entire senior leadership team on a scavenger hunt once in the organization I was in so we could stay the course. And when they went and found the prize, they didn't realize we got all the work done already. But, you know,
And you well,
we have to have some fun, right?
With you, Zara.
Yeah. Either that, it's fun, or we all end up in jail together. Do you want peanut butter and jelly or a ham sandwich when you go do your time?
Yeah.
Mark, the idea of organizational disease is overcoming it and then getting to that healthy place, though. I really think this point we mentioned, that this is not it's not a joking matter by any stretch of the imagination. B, it's not uncommon. This is almost the human condition. I mean, talk about families, right? I mean, it's all around us, but how do we step back, you know, and stay really mindful? Look, if we've got this common goal, really? Do we really have to get spun up about this, this, and this?
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that is that, you know, the first step is really having the courage to own our own behaviors. You know, like in one organization I'm working with now, someone says, you know, when I have a really bad tendency, and it's a bad habit, really, that I will go on the attack as my initial communication if I'm feeling threatened or don't like what someone is saying, rather than listening and pausing and doing that. And he says, now, look, I really want to change that habit, but I've had the habit for 40 years or 30 years or whatever it is. So, you know, what the group did was we said, okay, how would you like to be told when you're moving into that behavior to change it? Because we can help support that. And he says, well, it's actually best if you don't say anything. He said, you know, maybe if you all had like a Nerf ball, you could throw it at me when you hear me do it, because that, at least to me, would make it funny.
Or everybody should dive under the table to hide for cover.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
We did that with one boss. Whenever we knew he was about to pick up the chair, and I mean either literally and sometimes, you know, figuratively, but sometimes it was literally, we all would dive under the table.
Yeah.
And he'd suddenly would start saying, oh, yeah, I guess I was about to go there, huh?
Well, you know, and that's the thing about it. If we can bring humor to it, even though it's not a laughing matter, but really look at it from that human side of it and give each other some sense of support, because we all have our bad habits. And, you know, I've got certainly mine. I get defensive, you know, at times. And so I have an agreement with people that, hey, if you hear me get defensive, give me a timeout signal and I'll kind of get the message. So everyone's got the issue. Sometimes it's more deadly than others, you know, or more extreme, but we all have it. So if we can all help each other through our issues, then we can overcome anything.
But, you know, it is interesting. You do raise a good point. See, you know, you have already spotlighted what you know your issues are. This gentleman you mentioned who said, you know I go on the attack if. And that might be someplace we all have to step back to, though, is to do some reflection or get some really solid feedback, which is often hard to get, so we know when to spot our own self in the mirror.
Yeah, you know, I do think that at times we're not aware of how we come off, so that feedback is important. But I would say most people kind of know what their issues are or have some kind of an idea. There's times when we don't. It's when it's a little bit more subtle, and the feedback is great. But that's where we have to build the trust in the organization to get the feedback and start from a position of, I'm not perfect, therefore I do have things I need to change. Now let me find out what it is, without it making me wrong or a bad person. Or
I remind our listeners, MarkSamuel.com, and also Mark's latest book, Making Yourself Indispensable, The Power of Personal Accountability. Thanks so much, Mark. Have a terrific Saturday. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thanks, Sarah.
You betcha. Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.